Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and no dirty dishes because Enkidu has washed them all up for you.
What a nice warlock.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Aww. I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by these squeaky clean players, so say hi, everyone.
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Which is next to Enkidu. Yeah. Whilst Enkidu deals with a spot of dust that he's just noticed, let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative.
Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success will rest upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, having arrived at Ferrocene's home, Orin helped inspect some magical prosthetics. And as he began to analyze them, they activated and launched themselves in his direction. With everyone scrabbling to trap them in boxes, Ferrocene quickly constructed an anti-magic field to deactivate them. Unsure of how that had occurred in the first place, the party decided it best to rest and think about it in the morning. As they passed the brass golem in the garden, however, a face appeared on it and called them forward, claiming that an untested wingthrup had been detected. Not knowing who it could be referring to, you all proceeded to solve its riddle and acquired the designs for a magical compass. The night went by with no danger coming to you, and with Gaius pilfering some wands and sheets of gold from Ferrocene's workshop. Juna and Kidu both magically reached out to their contacts in hopes of learning more of the Wingthrups, but to no avail. The next morning, Juna set to making waffles, and Orin turned his attention to the designs. And that's where we pick up.
Yeah.
So Juna's going to bring you your waffles in the workshop, that's it.
The mage hand's going to be busy picking up tools that Orin's asked for.
Yep.
And Kidu's going to be on the box, like scrutinizing really hard, like kind of struggling to keep up, but like just being attentive.
Amazing. And Orin, what are you doing?
Okay. So he's going to get the plans out. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have another good look at them. He's obviously studied them a little bit last night before he went to sleep to try and figure it out. Having sussed out that it looks like he probably needs to use his smith's tools, his tinker's tools, and maybe later on his calligraphy stuff, he's going to try and figure out what he wants to start with. He might think about doing a bit of smelting to start with that big golem outside.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So Ferrocene has woken up and she is, yeah, partly helping you. She's still a bit groggy. She's more interested in the waffles. But she does sort of get the, what is it called? The forge. Yeah. She gets the forge started. It takes a little while to heat up, but that gives you plenty of time to figure out what you're all doing with the golem.
Okay, I don't think we're going to need loads of it, but I think we're going to need a bit of it. It looks like it's all in one bit. Like, I can't just be like, just take the hand off. And
yeah, no, it seems to be, I mean, there are smaller details on it, but it seems to be one big piece of metal.
And Kidu?
Yes?
Have you got a way of chopping off a bit of the golem?
See what I can do. I'm going to roll the roulette for a new packed weapon.
Okay, cool.
It's not a helpful one. A whip shows up in my hand.
What are you doing with that, Kidu? That's no good at all.
I can just try again.
Okay.
And this one, nope. You know what? I'm just gonna. Psh, it's brass knuckles. I'm just gonna, just blast it with some magics. Maybe some chunks will fall off.
Amazing. Yeah. If you want to make an attack roll with a eldritch blast.
Yeah, I'll send two of them just to be sure.
I was thinking something more precise. Oh, okay.
Look. I can pinpoint with that.
Oh, right. No, absolutely. I've seen your dab hand with that kapoo thing, whatever it is.
But a sword is not going to cut brass, right? Like, that's mad.
Well, I was hoping maybe one of your magical, I don't know if they're magical swords, I don't know how it works.
Well, they are magical. Thing. Like, you know what, I just use the scimitar. I take the scimitar and I just try to attack it.
Yeah, make an attack roll against the golem.
That's a 12. I mean, ooh, it's a golem, 12. It's not moving.
It's like, not moving.
It can't be hard to hit.
But it is pretty solid. So there is this wonderful ringing noise, like as your blade collides with it. And even as you pull the blade away a little bit, there's no damage to this statue, but there is a small dent in your scimitar.
In your scimitar? Oh, no. Oh, sorry.
In my scimitar?
Yep.
You know what? That's fine.
Hang on. Give that.
I give it to. Oh, I have to go with him because it will sort of disappear.
Hold it out then.
Yeah.
I'll get a little bit of tape out and just put a little bit of tape on the little dent. Smooth it out.
Yeah. And it repairs the dent. It's that one little patch is not as sharp as the rest of the blade, but you know, it's not dented anymore.
Sorry.
Oh,
no,
my God.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay, hang on. I'll try this. And he pulls out his blowtorch instead of firebolts. Mm-hmm. And is going to try and blowtorch off a bit of it. The hand.
Yeah. Make an attack roll.
Okay. 22.
Yeah. So it takes a little bit of time. But you're going for one of the hands, did you say?
Yeah. If that seems like an obvious sort of thing to go for.
They're both holding the greatsword sort of hilt that's sort of directly in front of this golem. But like you basically like slowly and surely burn through and like melt down the edges of the top hand so that you actually manage to like pull it off completely. Unfortunately, Ankidu just rolled that a little bit too low. But yeah, so it takes a little bit of time, probably about 10-15 minutes of like trying to melt this thing down bit by bit. But the whole top hand does come off eventually.
Hey, there we go.
Great.
I think you definitely made an indentation on it.
That's okay. You don't have to. It's all right. Let's just get this inside.
Okay.
As you sort of go back to figure out how to start melting this down, what are Gwendolyn and Gaius doing?
Gwendolyn has been basically like working out in the courtyard, like half keeping an eye on what Orin and Inkidu were up to, but like mostly like just like, yeah, no, just like concentrating on what she's doing, working out. And so then when they leave, she basically wants to try and like roundhouse kick the head off.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, make an attack roll.
Is it a bronze statue?
I can't wait to see the impact on your foot.
Oh, like, what? She's just like, I mean, she knows that it's probably not going to work and she's definitely checking that nobody is watching before she tries this, but she just is really tempted to, so she does it. Oh, no. She gets a 16.
16. Oh, wow. You take 3 points of damage.
Yep.
Bludgeoning damage. And it takes you a good 5 minutes of like walking around on that foot just to like ease it back in again.
Oh,
you have a
yeah.
quick check and there's definitely a bruise just on the top of your foot now.
Can she check that nobody saw her do that?
Yeah, make a perception check.
That's a four.
It's a four. Juna has been like literally just at the point that you leap to do the kick, Juna is coming out with like the tray of like empty waffles, empty plates. So she completely sees this. I don't know whether or not Juna will.
Oh, that looked painful. Do you need some first aid?
I'm just going to walk over here, actually. And Gwendolyn, like, tries to hobble off, like, trying to stride, but Tony just being like,
Juna sort of shakes her head, I don't know.
What's Gaius been up to?
Gaius has been composing a song. Been composing a song about the idea that somebody's body is not quite their own. And has just taken inspiration from the arms that were attacking him yesterday and his companions. And just thinking about that and just coming up with some lyrics. He can't quite catch it. He's playing around, he's chewing a melody all through the morning while they've been working out. And he keeps trying it out on his lute and it doesn't come quite right. But by the end of it, those next couple of hours, he's worked something out. He's in the makings of it. And now he's just trying to attach some lyrics to it. And that's as far as he's got.
Nice. Do you want to make a performance check to see how far he's gotten with that?
Seven.
So he feels like he's got some chords, but yeah, he's not quite.
Yeah, it's just
like
not...
a melody is kind of a little bit elusive, and then that's stopping him from thinking of like words to go into it as well. But like the musings and like the structure of the song is there, but you're like it almost keeps shifting slightly every time you try playing through it, and you think, oh, maybe I'm not as secure in this as I thought.
Okay, and that's all he's doing.
Just sitting there. Whereabouts are you gonna stay? Are you doing that in the shed? Are you doing that more
in
the
house? I was actually thinking he wants to like go somewhere where there's like a bit of altitude for him to enjoy it. So I was actually almost tempted to be like, oh, he's like sat on top of like some crate in the courtyard. But then he realizes that like Gwendolyn's doing her thing. So he quietly like goes. I don't know if there's somewhere around in the cottage, like an advantage point where he just wants to sit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go in and there's actually like a very small balcony by one of the windows upstairs. So you head up and it's not a bedroom. Luckily, it's sort of more like a small study. There's loads of like scribbled designs and things all over the place. But you sort of push past the mess in this room, open the little door onto it's almost like a little Juliet balcony. But enough that you can sort of pull a chair out and sort of watch down at everybody else.
Sure. At one point, he does realize, oh, I'm in the room alone with the potential master artificer's bedroom nearby, so who's still Wingthrup, so I'm just going to poke my head in and see if there's anything of note
in her bedroom.
Yeah,
make a investigation check.
Seven.
What you do notice is that it smells like teenager and there are clothes on every surface that you are pretty sure some of them have not been washed in a while. And some of them clearly have been washed, but have then just been dumped next to dirty clothes. And you don't know how she tells the difference between what is clean and what is not.
You smell them, it's easy.
Nothing of note here, and I will be going back to my melody.
Don't let Enkidu near that room.
You'll never leave this house because Enkidu will have to clean it first. So, Orin, you spend some time with Ferrocene, sort of help guiding you a little bit as well. Can you make a smith's tools check, please?
So, question the first. I would like to cast Enhance Ability, please, before I begin doing anything with the tools. I have to choose what kind of enhancement I'm giving myself, either like against strength checks or dex checks or charisma, intelligence, wisdom, so on. So I don't know if I can tell in advance what skill is going to be most useful, because I think with tools, as far as I understand it, I'll be adding proficiency, assuming I'm proficient with that tool, and appropriate.
And a stat.
And a stat, depending on what sort of track I'm going to break. And I'm not saying, tell me what I'm going to do so I can pick the right one. But like, if Orin can try and figure out what is going to be potentially useful.
Yeah, probably something different for all three.
Yeah,
so for Smith's tools, probably strength.
Yeah.
Tinker's tools, dexterity, and calligrapher supplies, intelligence.
Cool.
because of, again, like using that design, basically what it is that you're doing with each of those sets of tools. Like the Smith's tools is a little bit more trying to forge the shapes of the compass, the basic compass. The Tinker's tools is like trying to dexterously put it together, just like exactly. And then the Calligrapher's supplies is more to like mark in the arcane stuff. So it's more a knowledge of magic that's being used through those tools.
Okay.
How long does enhance ability last?
It's concentration for up to an hour.
So the other thing you'd know is that this whole process would probably take you like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could do it with one check, but probably by the time you get to the next stage of building this compass, it would have worn off anyway.
I think he's gonna keep that in his back pocket as an idea for later on and forge on for the moment, as it were.
In which case, if you'd like to make a Smith's Tools check, please, with your strength.
Yeah.
If anyone is around that would like to offer some support in any way to Orin doing this.
Is there time for me to have got back there having made and served the waffles?
Definitely.
I think that's what Juno would just be like, let me, I don't know what to do, but just let me know what you need me to do and I'll do it.
Yeah, oh, I'm still around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. Thanks, team. Okay, grab those tongs. Hang on. Grab the. Well, we need to get the forge up to temperature a bit more. If you wouldn't mind just getting the bellows out and I'll start giving them both instructions on how to.
I can multitask. Mage hand goes out one way to pick up stuff.
Perfect.
Runs over to the bellows, like, all right, let's give this a go.
That's useful. Okay. So, straight roll. Art Sans Intuition means I can add a d4.
For this one, I'll actually say you can have advantage. Because of the group helping you.
Thank you, group. Ooh, yeah, useful. So this was strength and proficiency, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That is a non-natural 20.
So it takes you a good sort of hour or so working all together, melting down this fist of brass, getting it to a sort of a good liquid temperature. I'm going to apologise to all of the actual blacksmiths out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've not got a clue either. I'm sorry. I really should have done my homework. Between episode 31 and 32, I've had plenty of time to figure this all out.
But essentially, yeah, you pour it out into a mould that Ferrocene has like sort of quickly scrabbled together, quickly using the designs and like other moulds that she has of similar sizes and things. So yeah, after about an hour, you find that you've got loads of different small pieces of brass now that you reckon could construct the casing of the compass, as well as like a few like internal gears, strangely, that you'd need for this thing.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so I get all the little bits forged and then crack on with the next stage, I guess, of assembly.
I figure around this time Gwendolyn would wander in to kind of like help out. She's kind of walked off her bruise a bit, like she's been working out, but now she's a bit bored and curious and wants to see what's going on.
Yeah, with all of these things having like cooling down in different spaces around the workshop, you clear one table and start like piecing things together. As this is a slightly more finicky task, very precise task, you're not going to be able to have everyone helping you. So is there anyone that you would need or anyone that you'd like some input from?
Sort of fiddly little minute details and bits and pieces. Thinking back to his time working with the gnome who trained him on a lot of stuff, he sort of wants to get in a comfortable zone, familiar zone. So I think he'd ask Juna if she wouldn't mind just coming over and...
And she's Dexy.
Oh, even better. There we go. if he wouldn't mind, just so he can sort of get a little bit into that mind frame of being back in the Woden Isles.
Does he say this out loud or just think this in his head?
I think he would say a little bit as he's getting stuff together, I think.
Because I think in that case, Juno would be like, if it would help for you to tell me about your gnome trainer while you do it, feel free.
Lord drop, boom.
Lord drop.
Nice one, Vicky.
Well, if you don't need me and Enkidu, then Enkidu, why don't we give those knuckle things, what are they called?
Brass knuckles.
Why don't we give those brass knuckles a go outside and you can call us when you need us?
Sure. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Go for it.
Cool. Gwendolyn walks outside feeling psyched.
And Kiryu kind of leans back as he walks like, what is she up to? All right, well, he goes there.
Brilliant.
So Orin sets to work fiddling with the little things and bits and pieces as he goes. I think I mentioned the person before who mentioned her name, Eliwick. Eliwick the Quill.
Nice.
Yeah, she's nice. I've been thinking I should write her a letter, actually, and let her know how I'm getting on, but I haven't quite figured out what to say in it. But I thought I could use your book of notes to send her a little message.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Sorry, side note, really quickly, because I don't want to divert from the story, but can I just flower check that name?
Amazing, yes. Yes, you can.
Mother Fudgin Flower Checks.
hey, don't worry.
No, you don't know anything about anyone called Eliwick.
Cool.
Yeah. She's a bit of an expert. Taught me a lot, really.
Is that where you take your quill from? Or is that just coincidence?
No, that's where I take it from. I haven't actually told her that I've taken on the name. I hope she doesn't mind. It's not what people used to call me back on Woden Isles. Just used to call me Orin Marath, because, well, I'm from there, I guess, or Sol Marath, I don't know. Did we decide Orin Marath or Sol Marath, David? I kind of like the sound of Marath, but...
I mean, technically Sol Marath is an offshoot of Marath, so they might have called you that.
Cool, even if they thought he was from Sol Marath.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was what I was called, but I don't know. I kind of, when I left there, I just felt like taking on something to remember who trained me, and so I took on her name.
She must have meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
And did she teach you how to do all of... Of this?
Yeah. She taught me what she could. I mean, she's not, she's a little bit less of a tinkerer, I guess, than me. She's a bit more, she's a bit more into the magic, a bit more than me, less into the tinkering. More naturally arcane than me. I've never been able to really do it myself unless I'm using a tool or using something else to kind of channel it through. But yeah, she could snap her fingers and do stuff. It's not a skill I've ever really managed to get.
We all have different skills.
Yeah.
Your skill is amazing. We'd be lost without you right now, certainly.
Oh, yeah, thanks. But yeah, she taught me a lot. She really knows her stuff. Eliwick does. Just reminds me of you sometimes, that's all.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'd kick myself for not asking. I might be overstepping the mark, but she didn't have any marks on her, did she, that you knew of?
DM?
Not that you knew of.
No, not that I ever noticed, no. No.
So take me through, what are you doing right now?
Okay, well, and I'll take Juno through what I'm doing with stuff. I might do a little enhance ability on myself before I do this check, just in case. So,
can I give him some guidance as well?
You can also give him some guidance, yes.
I will spend my spell slot. I kind of imagine for this, I'm basically giving myself advantage on dex checks. Cat's grace for an hour. So I kind of possibly imagine through this, it's some sort of slightly performance-enhancing drug that Orin kind of like nervously fingers in his thing. He's like, don't tell him, Rolf. And then just like pops a little pill in just to kind of, just a little thing I've been working on. Just an idea. Don't know.
Orin is juicing.
He's juicing.
Orin is on roids. Oh my gosh. What?
His pupils dilate and he's like, everything is very precise.
Yeah. This is like his fingers moving so precisely with each of the tinker's tools as he maneuvers stuff into place.
Wow.
Yeah. If you want to make a tinker's tools check then, dexterity and proficiency with advantage because of your enhanced ability pill. Juno, are you giving him guidance as well?
I'm giving him guidance, yeah. 1d4 yeah. Whenever you need it.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'm using the Artisan's stuff. Oh, thank goodness for all of the stuff, because that was not great, guys. So that is 14 plus 5, 19.
Again, it takes a good amount of time to make sure that everything is fitting to place exactly. You're still waiting on a couple of the pieces to cool down. And like, it just takes a little bit of time in Ferrocene's workshop to find bits of glue and all the rest of it to like put these things together.
I wish Enkida was here to tidy this up a bit. Like, this is a mess.
But after a few hours, it is done. So during that time, Gaius, you've gone back out to like continue sitting and playing. And as you're sort of looking down into the courtyard, Gwendolyn and Enkidu step out.
Yes!
Excellent. I play an appropriate piece of music for a bout.
So, look, I've been
training whenever I can, but it really doesn't... It's not so great when I don't have somebody to spar with, and I kind of feel like you're the best person that I could spar with. I've seen those brass knuckles before, and if you're up for sparring, I would appreciate it. But doesn't matter, like, if you don't want to, whatever.
You know, I've been neglecting my training, actually. It's been a long time since I was taught some orcish boxing, actually. But I was never really good at using everything that I was taught at, so I could always use a refresher.
I'm sure there's things I could learn from you as well, so it would be mutually beneficial.
Sure. Okay. So, how'd you want to do it?
I don't know, make ourselves some sort of, a circle or square, something to work within and go at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I cast Mage Hand. It will raise up, one finger will extend, and it will draw a line in the dirt in a perimeter around us.
This is cool.
Now we know why Enkidu has Mage Hand, so he doesn't have to get his hands dirty.
Oh, makes so much sense.
He is a clean fiend.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he'll take off his jacket and his breastplate. He'll hunch his shoulders up, raise his fists up high, and extend his left foot out, and lightly tap his foot against the ground, and assume that stance.
Okay. Gwendolyn is going to take a few stretches, kind of walk out the arena that we have. She's also going to pick up a bit of dirt. She's going to rub it on her hands. Yeah. She's rubbing that on her hands. She's little intimidation check and limbering up, and she too takes a stance that's like, I'm ready for this.
Gaius, what are you doing?
I am, like, whereas before I was just playing that ditty to myself or that song and trying to get it, I can see that, and just through the influence and through the sheer enjoyment of what I'm playing, my fingers start to play for me, and suddenly, like, there is a strumming pattern occurring that is going to underplay, and I'm playing very loudly, so they think it's coming from just their inner fighting conscious, but actually it's coming from me. I'm just, so if I could violently inspire them both, I would be at this moment, but I can't mechanically, so imagine it's that level.
In which case, can all three of you roll initiative?
What? Yeah. Oh my gosh! Oh. Yes.
This is
can happy. I just say, I imagine the geese have come out to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, and so has Myra. Myra was interested in the designing of things, but now it's gotten to the nitty gritty of like putting it together. She's like, meh.
And is like, yes. Gwenkidu, yes.
This is like Myra's dream come true, isn't yeah. it?
Gaius, what did you get?
I got a 15.
Enkidu, what was yours?
5.
5 for Enkidu. Ooh, Gwendolyn, where are you at?
I got a 21.
So, as the two of you are standing facing each other, just ready for either one of you to make a move, Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
Okay, so I've been watching a bit of sumo recently, because why not? I mean, there's so much prep before they go into it, but there is this kind of, like, they look into each other's eyes, like, the last person to, like, touch the ground is, like, the person to, like, set it off. So she's kind of looking Enkidu dead in the eyes, and she's just kind of duck low, kind of strike the ground, and then use that energy to kind of go up and strike and do an uppercut underneath his jaw.
Nice, make your attack rolls.
It would help if I actually landed it in my dice tray. oh dear. So that is a 8 to try and hit.
Enkidu, because he's got the tapping of the front foot, it's Muay Thai, if people didn't know. He lifts his front leg up, his knee up, and blocks the strike.
Nice.
Okay, all right. She's got an extra attack. So she, on that block, she then goes in with a, what should we call it? An 11.
Enkidu remembers being on the street with Cal and opening the flower, what he was doing last night. He opens his palm and then he just gently taps her wrist to let the fist pass by his face.
Ooh.
Okay, and knowing that those two fists did not work, and she's got her bonus action, which she can also strike with, so she decides to, like, the fists aren't working, so she's going to swing around, and she's going to try and knee him in the gut.
Ooh.
And that, oh, for fuck's sake, is a 10!
Oh, Gwen!
That is 3 attacks, but didn't hit one!
Gosh, remembering Cal's lessons about distancing, he the front leg, he kind of like taps Gwen's stomach just to get a bit of distance between them, right? So he'll just take a quick step back.
Amazing. Gaius, it's your turn. Are you going to offer any inspiration? Are you going to interfere with this fight in any way?
Absolutely. He is going to be, hopefully through what he's playing at the moment, and suddenly he gets a lyric in his head going, I need Enkidu, I need Enkidu to the end of the night. He's gotta be fast, and he's gotta be strong, and he's gotta be fresher than right. I don't know the words are. and then,
I made the words up.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Right.
Them's the words.
It's his song.
So Enkidu has inspiration, Valic inspiration. Gosh. And just to make it even more fun as well, he shouts out to Gwen, like, going, Gwen, you got this, you can do this. You have fists of fury, Gwen. And he will bend the truth, meaning that you need to make a wisdom save. And if you fail that, you get advantage on your next attack.
Whoa.
That's only for unwilling people.
Okay. So, all right. So if you're willing.
I'm willing.
So you get advantage on your next attack. And Enkidu gets a bardic inspiration. So let the hit points go.
Yeah. Cool. Enkidu, it's your turn then.
He notices the like power coming from somewhere. He looks around and he sees Gaius. And he's like, so what is going on now? Well, can I ask a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
I have Thirsting Blade, but I think that's only for my pact weapon, where I can make 2 attacks.
Your brass knuckles are your pact weapon.
Oh, I have them. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So,
I thought
yeah,
it was empty-handed.
You had them out from when you were trying to baffle the things. So you've got the brass knuckles in your hand. It's up to you whether or not you're still wearing them for the honour of the fight, but...
Yeah.
Well, Gwendolyn asked for them, so...
Yeah, she wants to try out those brass knuckles. She wants them.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Goodness.
Oh, dear.
Oh. She didn't ask for the whip. She asked for the brass.
Oh, hello.
Daryl's
check on the time.
Sure. He's going to drop his weight onto his rear leg, jump in, and 2 attacks. He's going to feint right, side on and left, and body hook, and then come up for a cross. So that's 2 attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not a d20, that's a d8.
sure, keep rolling the d8, Daryl.
Don't forget your bardic inspiration.
I don't need it for the first one. It was a 15 plus a proficiency plus my... So that's plus 6, that's a 21 to hit.
Ooh.
The
yeah,
first
that
attack.
Hits.
So that's 4 points of bludgeoning damage.
Cool.
That's the hook. And the second attack... You're lucky I wasn't Hexblade cursing. That is a 25 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits. Yeah.
Just hits.
Oh. Another 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay. Nice. Where did those punches land? One in the jaw?
One in the ribs, one in the square in the jaw.
Ooh.
Okay, she just like spits out a bit of blood.
Gosh.
And smiles.
She smiles. And Kido's like, what have I done? And you could probably feel a bit of excitement from certain somebody inside him going, all right, mate, this is it. This is perfect.
Yeah. There's no words, but yeah, that full Cal energy is like, you can almost feel him in your fists. So, Gwendolyn, it is your turn.
Okay, all right, okay. So she feels like, okay, maybe I went in a bit too excited just then. I didn't land any of those punches, not even the kick. So, okay, all right, so she tries to like... breathe, center herself, looks at Enkidu, and she's gonna go for a punch in the guts. And she's got advantage on this from Gaius. So, a 19 to hit.
Hits.
I just had a quick read of the thing, and it's actually advantage on all attack rolls until Gaius's next turn.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah!
This could be horrendous.
Okay, so, so I'm going... so that's 5 points of damage.
Sure.
And as he's buckled over, she is then going to bring up a knee into his face. 17 to hit?
Hits.
Okay. 9 points of damage.
Oh my gosh.
Then she's like going to bring up her fists up above her head and she's going to go to like smash them down in his back.
Ooh. Violent.
I know.
And that is 19 to hit.
Yeah, hits.
Okay. Yes. That is 6 points of damage.
Okay.
And then she kind of like gently like rubs him on the back as she moves, kind of like steps away a bit. Just like a, oh, well done, you took that.
Yeah, I took it.
In which case, Gaius, it's your turn.
Gaius is going to now glance towards Gwen's direction, seeing that, and he is cringing at every single blow that is being hit. Oh gosh, that's gonna hurt. Whoa, watch out there. Wee, oh. And then he's going to say, I recommend you fake right, break left. Watch out for the pig and keep your eye on the fence. Go on, Gwen, get your head in the game. You gotta get your head in the game. Woo! And barlically inspire Gwen.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
High level musical theatre references.
Yeah. And then he is going to, with a chord that will resurge and regenerate Enkidu, he will call out and go, Enkidu, you got this! You're the menace of madness! You are the titan of terror! Kick our butt! And then he's going to bend the truth again, so that now Enkidu is the one who has advantage.
Mm, wow.
And Enkidu, it's your turn.
Ooh.
Yeah, sure.
What are you thinking about?
I was thinking about doing something else. He was thinking
about the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, there's that cup that June has just left on the side there.
She's just finished cooking, all of that needs doing. Yeah.
Bit of Twain Tai tea just left lying around on the table.
There's a bag in the mug.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Making a little ring around the
edge. Starting to go dry. Yeah.
He's thinking of the fighting pits back in Dram, and he's thinking about all the times that Cal's like, "All right, come on, let's do some training." And every time he snuck off or made an excuse, he's like, oh, "I'm paying for it now." But time to get my second wind. So first attack from where I've been, like I didn't hit the floor from when she like hit me in the back. I'm gonna try and get back with uppercut. Natural one,
even with advantage. Yeah.
Natural one.
Oh my gosh!
No way!
Two natural ones.
Two natural ones.
Mate.
As for the first thing, so maybe I wobbled a bit. My legs buckled as I was too eager to like get back up. Like, gotta calm myself. Then the second attack is a 12. Reroll. Two. So 12 plus 6. So that's an 18 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
So yeah, she dodges the uppercut and I get back with a straight cross. 5 points of damage.
Mm-hmm. Two natural ones.
Brought to you by our sister show, All Small Rolls. Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
Gwendolyn is laughing. Like, even though she's just taken damage, she's still laughing at, like, the one that he missed. And she's just, like, super psyched on, like, the fight and the fun of it. And so she's just like, oh, I'm just going to, like, run towards him and, like, do, like, a flying kick.
Oh my gosh.
That's what she's trying to do. Let's see if she does it, guys.
Is Sparta.
That is an 11.
He sees it coming and he drops down to like dodge the attack. I don't know how you're kicking him.
She like she probably just like flies over you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or is it almost like she kind of like as you duck, like she kind of almost like barrel rolls off your back and like falls like sprawled on the floor. Like legs akimbo.
Oh my gosh.
She's gonna then, because she's kind of like found herself on the floor, she's gonna swing her leg around to like try and take his legs from out from underneath him. Like she's getting dirty.
Yeah, Enkidu will hate that.
14 to hit.
Enkidu jumps into the air.
So he's just got out of the way of her kick, like trying to swing around. She's on the ground. And she is going to try and just like grab his coat and bring him down. Oh. That's what she's going to try and do.
She is taking no prisoners.
That is a 18.
Yeah, that got me.
Yeah, she's basically trying to pull him down and then like get a hold of him, like kind of get him into some sort of like I don't know, like a headlock or something like that. But a headlock, but with her thighs, like Enola Holmes.
How did you manage that? Okay, right, a leg.
Yeah,
lock.
Like she's using her powerful thighs to like bring him down.
So DM, is this an attack or a grapple? Because that's a grapple from fighting experience.
So a grapple is a type of attack, okay, so it can be used in any swing, but it is contested if you're trying to pull him down.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
You can either deal damage with your thighs, or you can try and pull him down with your thighs.
She has got damaging thighs.
Oh.
That's on a t-shirt somewhere. Come on.
Gwendolyn's damaging thighs.
We can do this. Crowdsource. Patreons, come on, we're looking at you.
Sparring, if I tried to hit someone twice, they dodge the attack. I wouldn't grapple them, I'd carry on hitting them.
Yeah, I think, yeah, she's trying to deal damage with them, like, but she's just like, yeah, trying to like basically like pincer and do damage with her thighs as she's doing it. So
a bit like a Black Widow move in which you've sort of like...
Yeah, like something cool I've seen on an action film that I don't know how to describe because I'm not as actually Superman like Enkidu and Vicky both are in real life.
Enkidu and Vicky? Those two real life people.
Daryl and Vicky, they're both actually super people, whereas I'm not.
I feel like Wonder Woman has definitely done that move in like Wonder Woman or Justice League or
she must have.
So she has done 4 points of thigh damage.
Whoa.
Nice.
Lovely. I'm pretty sure that's the attack that the woman in GoldenEye used on that.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. In which case, Gaius, it's your turn.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. Oh, now she's using her thighs. Jeez. No, I don't care where you're from. That's gotta hurt. He's done as much as he can. I think he's now just going to, I don't know, just watch and enjoy the rest of it. Actually, no, you know what he's going to do? Retcon. No retcon, screw it. He's going to go and he's going to go downstairs and he's going to fill up a big old bucket of cold water. And that's what he's doing for the next 6 to 12 seconds.
Yep, yep. And especially with the way that Enkidu had organised the kitchen, you know exactly where it is. You go straight to the tap, you're like, bucket, tap, filled. Running back is upstairs. Enkidu, it's your turn.
Enkidu's going to like be a bit dazed as he's never seen a move like that before. And like, what the heck? Okay, and he's breathing a bit hard, like, I wish I carried on training with the fists, but I'm still in this. And he's going to go back with punches, because that's what he's best at. 9 plus 6, 15.
Oh, that's my armor class, so that hits, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Cool. So yeah, he's going to go switch his legs and boom, left cross. So that is 7 points of bludgeoning damage, magic bludgeoning damage.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Getting nasty.
As he sees that the punch lands, he's seeing how excited Gwendolyn is, excites something in him, and he leans back, turns his left foot out to the side for a right roundhouse kick to the ribs.
Oh my god.
Oh yes.
I hope this golem doesn't come alive and we have to fight it.
These two are
going to be like one hit point each. Orin's burning through his second level spell slots to build a watch compass.
I missed with that anyway. Hang on. What dice is Bardic Inspiration?
It's a D6.
So I rolled a 3, add my 6, and then I rolled a 5 in the Bardic, so that's a 14. Yeah, I miss.
Ooh, okay, Gwendolyn, like the things he tried, and she's just like, let's see how far I can push him. She's got herself up. She's circling a bit in this arena, like sizing him up, seeing where she's done some damage, and she decides she just wants to take the wind out of those sails. So she just wants to swing around, roundhouse kick him in the stomach, just really wind him, basically. 18 to hit.
Yeah, it's...
Okay. 8 points of damage. How's he looking?
Not good.
Okay.
He's hurt. He's really hurt.
She says to him, can you take some more, or do you want me to stop?
That is spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enkidu is remembering what Alcibiades said last night, and as cool as he thought he played it off, it did get on him a bit, and it is Enkidu's desire to be strong, to protect those inside, because he hasn't got just his own life on the line, he's got his friends and even his enemy that he has to make sure survive whatever comes next. And he's like, give me what you've got.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're sure, you tell me when you need me to stop. and Gwendolyn goes to punch him in the jaw. But she does miss that jaw.
Oh.
She tries to like pass it off as she was like trying to be like, whoa, like, you know, like, oh, I was going to put you in the jaw, but no, I'm not. But it like is totally obvious that she missed. But she's like trying to, because that was a natural one. So she just like tries to play it off cool. But then like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. And she's just like limbering back, moving her way back. And she is going to try and sweep his legs from out from underneath him again. And she rolls another natural one. So she basically just falls backwards and just, and then she tries to like cross her legs to be like, oh yeah, totally cool. I meant to do that. You just look really rough, that's all. And I just don't want to hurt you too much.
And Keely's too tired to be like annoyed or upset by the comment. He's like, he's that knackered. Like this is going on. But he's remembering Cal's teaching and he's remembering, if you're tired, don't stop moving. Blow. Momentum. Momentum. Keep it going. Keep it going. And he's thinking tick-tock, tick-tock. He brings his fists up, like peekaboo style, and he's swaying left to right in a pendulum motion. And I don't think anyone can tell this, but he's casting Blur.
Whoa! Oh, he's got magic on the ghost.
He's bringing got magic to a non-magic fight.
As you start doing that in Kidu, it is Gaius's turn just before yours.
Oh gosh, so
it's all right. As you're starting to prepare this spell and you're swaying, Gaius, what are you doing with a bucket full of water?
Going from the kitchen to the door in 6 seconds, because that's how long it takes.
Yeah.
The bucket's full. It's very heavy, and he's waddling over.
Nice. All right.
Like a goose.
Enkidu, you're starting to blur.
Yeah. And he's just swaying. That's what he's doing. He's like, come on, give it your best. That's all he's got for this turn.
Wow. What's it do? What's blur do?
Blur.
I mean, apart from create albums in the 90s.
I'm so glad you called that, Ben.
Well played, sir.
I was going to drop a Park Life in.
Your body becomes blurred, shifting and wavering to all who can see for the duration any creature has disadvantage on attack rolls against you.
Oh!
Nice.
I want to know what Gwendolyn's going to have to say about this.
Points.
Yeah, have you used any key yet, Gwen?
None at all.
I haven't, but I don't know if I'm going to. I'll see. All right, we're bringing out the magic, are we, Enkidu? Well, let's see if I can hit you at all. And so she's just going to try and swing at him and hope she hits something, because there is a massive blur in front of her.
I think Aggie's going to turn to Ruana and just, like, honk excitedly. Like,
and Ruana really will sort of, like, nod.
my dice has gone way far under my chair. Okay, it is a 7. I thought that was a natural 1 for a moment. So that's a 7 plus 6. So that's a 13. I know that doesn't hit. Okay, all right. He's blurring away in front of him. Gwendolyn's starting to feel a little bit of motion sickness, but she likes this technique, so why not? Let's keep trying. Okay, so that's a 16 to hit. At disadvantage.
Whoa.
I cast shield.
Oh.
Sugar.
So that means that it doesn't land?
My AC goes up to 17.
Ew. Okay.
Bringing all the magic to the fight.
All right. Okay. She is going to go for this one last time. Going to use her bardic inspiration. So we're on 14. Let's see what this bardic inspiration brings. That's up to 16.
Miss.
Still the shield up.
Oh. Yeah, shield lasts until the next turn.
Yeah.
So by my next turn, the shield will drop.
Okay.
And then I reckon Enkidu's out of magic. He's not got many spells, has he? Yeah.
She nods her head. She's like, okay. No, we're playing it this way. All right.
Yeah. Oh. You can just hear him breathing really heavily. He's like, and he's using the momentum to try and catch his breath. He's not even like thinking logically. He's just in full automatic mode. Like, gotta survive. Keep going. Keep fighting. Don't drop. And blur lasts a minute, by the way.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Love blur. Blur's the best.
Sorry. Hand to hand combat with a monk.
I mean,
you gotta use what you got.
And the monk challenged me. things.
She needs to learn how to work against this sort of thing, so it's good training for her.
It's good training. Gaius.
Is it concentration, Blair? Or is it, does it just
concentration,
stay up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if I deal damage, it'll go?
I have advantage on the concentration.
Oh,
Blair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Warcaster. Yeah. It finally comes in handy.
Gaius, yeah, what are you doing with that bucket?
Gwen's in the middle of trying to fight and see through this blur, but you can't see the silhouette that's like dragging with its back to the fight, like pulling this like barrel as it's making a groove along the ground full of heavy water, and like he gets to the edge of the circle and he squats down and he like lifts the bucket, and this is all going to take an extra 6 seconds, so I've got one more round of me.
Nice.
What is he doing?
Ridiculous. And Kidu, it's your turn.
As he's blurring, weaving, he shuffles forward, still weaving. He's Dempsey rolling, so he switches his leads and he goes for a Dempsey roll. So it's a, look it up.
Sorry, I made a
Jack
face
Dempsey.
Audience.
Jack Dempsey, never mind. Switches his stance.
Isn't,
and goes
isn't Dempsey the guy from Grey's Anatomy?
Yep, Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Look dreamy.
And he's eating a sausage roll. Makes perfect sense.
I was with you, Daryl. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Thank you. Boxing legend Jack Dempsey invents the Dempsey roll, which Mike Tyson then perfected. All right.
Talking of my budgie again, my budgie was called Tyson after Mike Tyson.
Oh.
It's all connected.
Oh, it's all connected.
Land that blow. What's going to happen?
That is a 21 to hit.
Ooh.
That hits. Oh. Yeah.
Sugar. 4 points of bludgeoning damage.
Mm.
And as he punch, he leans back and he's still weaving. For the second hook. Oh. That is a... It doesn't hit. It's a 4 plus 6. It's a 10. It doesn't hit.
Don't hit.
Yeah, and he's still weaving. Like, just full automatic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gwendolyn's like... She is feeling queasy. It's like being on that boat, but like... Ooh, it is rocking. Mm-hmm. It's like me with GIFs. For the listeners, GIFs make me queasy. It's a really weird thing. They make me dizzy and queasy. So this is basically what Enkidu is now. Like, she's like a GIF. He's like a GIF to her. So she's like, right, okay, I think I've probably only got one more round in me. Let's see what I can do. So she's going to, again, she's just trying to hit whatever she can. She is getting dizzy. Okay, so a disadvantage. That is 19 to hit.
Ooh. That hits.
Okay, nice. 5 points of damage.
Yep.
She's then going to use her bonus action to flurry of fucking blows.
Yeah. Here comes the key points.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Do I roll concentration now or wait till after? Oh, it won't matter.
Roll a concentration now.
If it drops.
Yeah, what do I have to be?
So you have to be 10. It's either 10 or half of the damage, whichever's higher.
All right. Yeah, I rolled a 7. Oh, I'll get advantage. I'll get advantage because I'm Warcaster. That is a 13.
Oof, oof.
You just keep it.
So you're still blurred.
So yeah, do your next attack, Gwendolyn.
Okay, and that's at disadvantage still, yeah?
Disadvantage.
Still at disadvantage.
Cool. Okay, 13 doesn't hit, obviously. But she's doing flurry of bows, so she gets another. So that's 15.
That is my AC.
Okay, so that one does hit. And that is 9 points of damage.
Ooh,
where does it hit?
She's going for his shoulder because she's really trying to like stop him from hitting her anymore. She's trying to like really get it at the source.
So as he weaves back up, you counter hit him by hitting him in the same direction he's going, and he just jars and he just slumps to the ground. Kidu is unconscious.
Oh! Gwendolyn looks to Gaius and like, I told him to tell me to stop. I promise.
It's okay, I had a premonition. Sunshine, lollipops, and I'll just pour the water over him while casting healing word.
How much?
I was about to cast a third level spell. I'm going to roll that. Less than five damage.
What?
Oh my gosh,
you
killed me.
Yeah. 5 points of healing, sir.
He'll wake up and he'll just and he'll just roll over to his back and look up. He'll just sag and just like relax a bit, and he'll just lie down and just stare out into the sky.
Gwendolyn offers him a hand as kind of like a handshake, but also she'll help him get up if he wants help him get up.
I think I'll stay down here for a bit, actually.
Do you shake her hand?
He grabs her hand and then he takes his other hand and he gives it a gentle pat and then lets it go.
Have a good rest, Enkidu. Gwendolyn saunters off. She's also really exhausted, but she's trying to keep her cool.
Walks around the corner instantly, like starts, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, she's in so much pain. She's going to have a little lie down. She might have to roll some hit dice.
Yeah, I might have to do the same.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. Many thanks for sending in your questions for this month's NSQ. We had a blast answering them. I was laughing so much during that record that my cheeks are still hurting. So a massive thank you to Jeremy Cobb for once again blessing us with his delightful company. Big love to our patrons for joining us live. And of course, thanks to superfan Sam for being our question master. We'll be releasing the show in all its podcasty goodness next Sunday. If you haven't already, do go and subscribe to Jeremy's podcast, Three Black Halflings. They've just started doing some deep dives into different D&D classes, which are super useful, very interesting, and of course, entertaining. And talking of other awesome D&D podcasts, we have an advert for Chosen Ones after the credits of this episode. Make sure you listen to the end for that. Now, if you follow us on social media, you may have seen that there's a new bit of exciting content to enjoy. No Small Talks is a short and informal post-game chat between the cast. We'll be recording these little talks as and when we have the energy after recording an episode, and we will be releasing them on Patreon for our patrons to enjoy. However, the No Small Talks that follows episode 30 is available to all you avid Rolios out there. So head to www.patreon.com/nosmallroles to have a listen. I quite like Rolios as a nickname for you all. That was a suggestion from Mike C on Discord. I'm still open to trying other nicknames out, so feel free to share your suggestions with us. We are at No Small Roles on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook by searching No Small Roles, and our Discord link is in the show notes. So come and chat with us, Rolios. It's fun. Talking of fun, let's get you all back to the action.
David, if you want to throw a really high-level enemy at us, now is the prime moment.
Yeah, when the two fighters have beaten each other up. Yeah.
Golem activates, yes. Walks over, and kicks Enkidu.
Four griffins fly from the sky.
Dwayne Fabulosa comes back.
Yes.
Oh, this fire. Is where Ferrocene and Myra turn on them.
Yes. They're weak.
Do you want me to fix Enkidu for you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just...
I just rolled an 8 on my hit dice. So
oh, you can nice. Just spend more than one, right?
Yeah. But I was just really pleased for rolling an 8 okay, on fine. My 8.
Yeah.
Are we having a long rest now or a short rest?
Be a short rest for you three outside, as it's only a couple, sort of 3 or 4 hours before Orin reckons that he'll be finished anyway.
In that case then, inspired by their fight, I've got my melody and I'm just playing away. Though lyrics have not come to me, I'm enjoying the tune regardless, and you guys have got a D6 extra to your whatever you roll for hit points, because that's a song of rest.
Ah.
I'm going to spend 3 hit dice, because I got nothing up.
I've spent 2 hit die, and then I rolled a 6 on that one, Chris. Whoa. So I am rolling good on my hit die.
Good rolls, guys.
11.
Great fight.
15. So I'm back to 20 hit points.
I'll take that. 26 will do me for now. She says. Oh, no. She dies next episode.
Yeah.
Oh,
she did.
I wish I'd rolled that 3rd hit die.
So, Orin and Juna, a few hours go by as sort of you're piecing this thing together, and it gets to the point that the last piece, or glass sort of cover, clicks into place, and you've got a working compass. At this point, it is just acting like a normal compass, however. There's nothing magical about it.
Oh, you're right, that was north.
Oh my gosh.
So, moving on to the last stage, to enchant it. Orin, you don't think anybody else is going to be able to help you with this, to like mark in the sigils and the arcane runes and things onto this compass. So you have to make a calligrapher supplies check.
So Orin, aware that he's going to have to do this by himself and that going to be drawing on his calligraphy skills with the Withers intelligence, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Intelligence and proficiency.
He is going to take a couple of minutes before he actually starts working on it to like really get himself in the right mode. He's going to, thinking about Ferrocene and her quick contraption, he's going to look around, find a few bits and pieces, just find some bits and pieces to really steady his hand, give himself a little support, maybe a little, give himself some little bit of mechanical aid on his fingers, just to really precisely carve the runes as he wants to carve them, or whatever he's going to carve into this thing. He is casting Enhance Ability again, but this time with Fox's cunning, as he builds his little contraption to give himself advantage on intelligence checks, if he may.
Yes, you may.
Orin, would you say that you really need some focus for this task?
I probably really need to concentrate, yeah.
But do you need some focus? And she pulls out the tea bag from the caddy and is like, I mean, do you need focus, is what I'm saying. She kind of looks a bit like a shriveled up drug dealer shaking a tea bag at him.
Okay, out of game, focus, does that give you advantage on rolls?
I don't know.
What is focus?
I thought it was a spell. What is going
it's
on?
It's a tea. It's one of it's Juna's tea. Teas from her
tea. It just
tea
seemed like a good time to use the tea. Yeah, yeah.
It grants advantage on the next skill check.
Okay, just because I have just given myself advantage.
Okay, she slides it back in.
Yeah, Juna, Orin, rather. That's my character. You're Juna. Or I'll just say, I'd love a cup of Twain Tide, if you've got one.
Yeah?
That will stay in hands.
Can I use Aggie?
Of course. Yeah. Aggie, Boyle?
June is quite reluctant to leave Orin on his own doing all the work. So she'd quite like to stay in there and just goes about making him a tea.
I'll heat Aggie up a little bit with my blowtorch if she needs a little bit of heating. What is going on? I'm heating up a mechanical goose with a blowtorch. It's all good.
It's D&D.
It's D&D. Yeah. So Orin creates his little contraption to give himself advantage. Okay. Oh my god, guys. I rolled a natural 2 and a natural 1. That's not good. That's not good. That's a 13.
And that's still a 13.
Yep.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, that's intelligence.
Can Juna help him in any way, or is this like just a pure?
If you wanted to give him guidance, I will allow a guidance.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, not in like an advantage kind of way.
Cool.
17.
17, and 17 is just enough. By which just enough, I mean it's the target.
Are you kidding?
I like to imagine that Juna's guidance comes in the form of her just coming over with a Twain Tide, just when it's all going a bit wrong.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Orin's like, oh, it's not working.
And yeah, just as you, like, essentially you slightly look up to see Juna approaching you, and that last little brush stroke to, like, get that line in just connects in the right way, and the arcane symbols on the compass just like activate slightly. The needle starts turning, orientates itself, and points mostly north, but just slightly to the east.
Oh, Juna, it's working, Juna.
Oh my goodness!
North a little bit east. Is that David thinking about the map that Gwen has? Is that pointing sort of towards the forest?
Yeah, the forest is north from you.
Okay.
Oh, you know what is northeast from here? Zul'Murath.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Or not.
Or not, no. Well, it's just like, I was just thinking when we were making that, like, it's funny, isn't it, how weird things from your life just sort of come together in a weird way to all lead to something. Mm. Like, I mean, I've been smithing for years. Well, I haven't done it for a while, but, like, I used to smith for ages and tinker and you know, I know my way around some arcane symbols, and it's funny how everything comes together, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So we head northeast, right?
Yeah, northeast. Let's go and tell the others.
Yeah? So we come out to the courtyard.
Yeah, come out and see what on earth is happening out there.
There's blood everywhere.
Oh my god, they all must be dead. Oh no.
Yeah, it's been a few hours since the fight even.
Yeah.
But yeah, the remains of it, the circle's still there, like the barrel that Gaius has pulled out, sort of like just thrown on the floor. It's all does look a bit chaos. But you gather all back together in the kitchen and share the news.
Okay, it's made. Thank you for your help, everyone.
He did such a good job.
Well, no, but Juno did a lot too. And Kida, you helped with getting the bit of the statue earlier as well. Like,
and I helped by staying out of the way.
Very important.
Really important.
That's what my father always told me it was best I did.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gwendolyn.
With technical things, they're not really my strong suit.
I know that we're about to head off, but I've been meaning to say this since the boat. But I know that you were going to message your father, maybe to wire us some money, but if you'd like to get a message to your father at any point, Gwendolyn, you know I'll send him whatever you want to send him. In your own time and whenever you're ready, but we can do that if that's what you want to do.
I will think about that for sure. I will think. But thank you, Juna.
You're Gwen. I'm Juna.
We're all getting confused. What's going on?
Who are we?
If you'd rather ever write him a note, you're also welcome to use the book. If it's easier to put thoughts down on paper rather than saying them out loud or anything. Anyway, just a thought.
I will definitely think about that, and I really appreciate that both of you are. But we've got a task at hand, and those things can wait. But thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, talking of tasks at hand, did we want to check out the arms again before we move on anywhere else?
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about them. Should we go and look?
Yeah, I just couldn't quite put my finger on the mystery of those arms.
You never know, they might come in handy.
That fight was a white knuckle ride, eh?
Stop palming us off with your terrible jokes.
And a meteor falls from the sky and crushes you all in the house.
And all the cast are replaced by new players.
Yeah, if you want to, you're welcome to go back. They're just in the box. Ferrocene sort of being keeping an eye and checking on them, and they have deactivated again. Whatever it is that you'd triggered in them, Orin, the night before with the anti-magic field and having just left them alone for a while, they do seem to be depowered.
That reminds me, Ferrocene, let me see if I can make this a bit better. He's going to pull out his sticky tape of mending now we're not in a non-magical field and repair the one that Gwen kicked to see if he can get that back up to some sort of state of...
Yeah.
Betterness.
Again, as you sort of pick it up to sort of inspect it, where best to put the tape, make a perception check.
Natural 20.
Yes!
For a 22.
Nice.
That makes up for the 1 and the 2.
I was going to say. And like, and especially for the 9 that you rolled last time, you picked the same one up. As you sort of pick it up to look in, you can see sort of magical runes. Just you catch a glimpse of the inside of it. Just a little bit. And there are magical runes just running along. That track with what you saw with the detect magic the day before, like of different schools of magic all being intertwined. You sort of like just through into the arm of it. You can't quite see down into the palm clearly enough, but you can see just that there does seem to be like a bigger grouping of these runes and symbols.
Huh, that's weird. Okay, so there's a whole lot of runes running down. Is Ferrocene nearby?
Yeah, she's weird. Yeah, she's been sort of stood looking at them whilst you've been working on the compass.
Is that normal? Like a whole load of runes running down towards the palm?
Well, no, that's the point. None of this is normal. Normally, it's just it's wires and stuff inside and a elemental battery sort of keeping it all running.
Oh. And I can't see I can't read them in the palm? I can't...
Not quite. With the crack running sort of down the forearm, you can sort of... It's a large enough crack that you can see in, but not enough that you can see clearly.
Oh, so it's inside the arm that I'm seeing the runes?
Yeah.
Very seen. You know that one's that's busted already?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I bust it a little bit more?
Only if you can fix it. Like, I'm not having you break it and that's it, and then it'll always be broken. How am I going to explain that?
I can probably fix it.
It's like you can fix it or you can't fix it. Probably is like, can you fix it?
I mean, I think it's broken already.
Well, yeah, there's a big crack down it.
Yeah, so a little bit more of a crack wouldn't do any harm.
Juna's going to message, do it, do it, do it.
And Kidu's getting a bit fidgety, like, break the bloody hand. Break it. Do what you need to do.
I'll tell you
break
what.
It.
I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
And when I come back,
yeah.
Let's hope that it is fixed.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 Right. Okay.
She does. She sort of like starts walking slowly out of the shed. As she passes Juno, she's like, is there any more food left? I mean, I know it's my kitchen.
Did you have waffles this morning?
Yeah, but it's like lunchtime now, so I'm a bit hungry.
You show me some more food and I'll make you some lunch. And she turns around and gives her in a wink.
Thank you, Juno. And yeah, she carries on out.
She's awfully throwing her weight around for someone who's stolen these things in the first place.
Yeah, I know. But, hot property. Okay. So it's already kind of cracked a bit where he's seeing the runes, mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yep.
Can he kind of pull out a dagger and just slowly work the crack open a little bit more?
Yeah, make a sleight of hand check.
Hell yes. 12.
12, yeah, I'll give you that. It sort of takes a little bit of time, but you follow the seam as it sort of seems to appear.
College of puns.
I mean, we're clearly, that's all what our subclasses are.
Yeah. Never mind the characters.
Yeah, sort of, yeah, you run the blade down the seam, sort of revealing it as it goes. And eventually you can like pull it open. So the inner palm has like flipped up a little bit.
Mm.
And on the inside is a circular space where sort of a larger rune sigil type of a thing would be. And like you can see that following all of the other lines of runes and arcane markings, they seem to converge on this point and like encircle this space. Actually, can you make an arcana check looking at this space?
21.
That's okay. So in the middle of this space, there is an arcane marking, a sort of semicircular in shape. But what's incredibly confusing about all of it is that it's unfinished.
Hmm?
So the other semicircle opposite is empty. You can tell that this was the sort of conjuration focal point. And, interestingly, that's the part that would have activated the rest of the runes.
And that's not there anymore.
Well, only half of it is.
So half of it's there, half is missing.
Yep.
And does what's there look enough to kind of activate something, or does it look like something's been taken away since it was active, if that makes sense?
It's odd. It's where lines and connections in this symbol would have sort of reached across the circle, they just stop halfway through. And as it stands, you know that wouldn't work by itself.
So it's like unfinished circuits. It's like circuits that don't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of gonna, when in doubt, poke something. He's sort of gonna poke the half that's not there.
You just sort of connect with the sort of the metal lining of the hand, the inside of the hand.
Half of this is missing. This just can't work as this is at the moment. How did it come to life? Can I see how I managed to get it to come to life yesterday?
Make an intelligence check.
Not feeling intelligent. That's a natural one.
Thinking back, you're not entirely sure what would have activated it last time, as you were just inspecting it, and then they all reacted to you. So you can't remember what it is exactly that you did, or whether or not it is something that you did at all.
Orin, what's wrong?
This feels unfinished. This half of this is missing, so none of this is going to be able to connect up without another half. And yet, last night, they sprung into life, didn't they? And they started doing stuff, and that's not possible from what I'm looking at the moment. I can't see how that's possible.
David, do I remember any incidents at any time in the past of someone losing a limb and being operated on quickly to see if they got their limb back?
Make a history check.
16.
So, because especially you've got a little bit of like sort of medical knowledge as well, you have heard of stories of sort of not necessarily whole limbs, but like sort of fingers and things that have come off if they've been sort of preserved and attached again fairly quickly, that like some operation can come from them. And you do know of some soldiers who have been wounded and have worn prosthetics to replace old arms. But no, apart from that, like whether or not this has anything to do with that, you don't know.
Okay. I'm not sure if this is helpful, Orin, but maybe missing parts in that palm are some kind of magical nerve ending waiting for the body it's compatible with to come back. I don't know. I'm not an expert in these things.
Maybe if it's attached to the right person.
So that rune won't be filled in until it's attached to a person?
A compatible person, perhaps.
Well, then how did it come to life yesterday?
Because you are a Wingthrup. What, retrace your steps. What happened? I wasn't here.
Well, I put my goggles on. I figured out that there was some sort of power, something coming from the palm. So I tried to investigate. So I got my tinker's tools out. And I was doing something. Oh, I can't quite remember what I was doing now to the palm. I was trying to get in, like, to access, like, if I might find a battery, like Myra had, or something in the palm. I think I was going into the palm and then, I don't know, I got a bit distracted because the next thing I know, it just suddenly came to life in my hand and it was trying to go from my neck and I was grabbing at me and Aggie and, ugh.
Okay, sure. I just maybe thought jogging the memory might help. Okay.
Looking at that little missing bit, David, and thinking back through, can I think of anything that would, like, fit in that little hole? Anything that would go into that missing half?
No, beyond the other half of that symbol, you kind of do recognize some of the arcane markings there. So beyond like sort of the other halves of those connections, like it is just space to draw or to mark on sort of more runes. It's not sort of like a slot or anything like that.
Looking at the half done runes that are there. Do I think I would be able to fill in the missing half of the runes?
You could certainly try.
Can I try?
Yeah, make a calligrapher's supplies check.
Okay, with intelligence or dex or what would you like?
Intelligence.
Jeez, all the secrets.
So yeah, you sort of settle yourself down, get this open palm in front of you, and especially where you're kind of, you've been in calligrapher's mode and like arcane marking mode, you do start trying to copy over the markings that you can see, and like finishing off the patterns. As you start to do so, the other three arms activate again.
Fuck.
The one in front of you doesn't, but the other three do. They arch up, stand on their fingers again. For a brief moment, you think they're going to leap for you. And instead, they leap off of the side, out of the box, onto the floor, and start scurrying for the door.
Grab him! Grab him! Grab him!
Go!
Dive and try and grab one!
Wait, where are they going? Where are they
to
going?
The door. I don't know! They're trying to escape. Grab them.
Yeah, everyone make a quick dex check to see if you can grab them.
I see my hands are full of quills and things. So
and I'm assuming I'm still off making lunch with Ferrocene, right?
Yep,
cool.
Yep.
Can I try to grab one and mage hand another?
No, not in enough time, unfortunately.
Is it a dexterity saving throw?
No, just a dex check.
Okay.
Are Ruana and Aggie involved?
Oh, yeah.
No, unfortunately.
they're having a fight in the courtyard at the moment, the two of them.
They've gone into
they're
the circle.
Recreating.
Yeah.
It's not a sleight of hand.
No, just a straight dex check. What'd you get, Gaius?
With Gaius' roll, he charges forward and hits his knee on like a metal cylinder and just like barrels over and goes, and just holds on to his knee for a bit. He's out. He did nice. Not roll well.
Ooh.
Vinkidu, what did you get?
Got a 9.
No. And Gwendolyn?
15.
Ooh.
Unfortunately.
Oh my god.
What is this?
So as the three of you start diving over, like, these things start like darting under tables, under shelves, and they are out the door and they are gone.
Is that how
Run
fast they are?
Them.
Can we not chase them?
That's where we'll end the episode.
Oh. Oh.
What? No.
What's going to happen next?
Where are they going?
What's happening?
Follow
oh, by the way,
hands.
I did roll that third hit die just in case, you know, for future things.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master. Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Well, hello there, young adventurer. I've been waiting for you. We've met before, don't you remember? Ah, no worries. I'm quite forgetful myself. The other Sparks are waiting for you. Leviath, Shui, Theo, and Brandy. They've had such wonderful tales to tell. A truly marvelous story. I wonder which one of them will be the chosen one. Perhaps none of them will. Perhaps it will be you. The morning's coming soon. I have to leave now. Will I see you again? I sure hope so. Is a story really a story if there's no one to tell it to? Well, goodbye for now, adventurer.
Chosen Ones is a visual novel-style D&D podcast on YouTube that releases every Thursday at 1 p.m. CST. Find us on Twitter at Chosen Ones D&D. Come adventure with us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.